Sound the trumpets. Well, maybe in the case of Donald Trump, who does his own trumpeting, you and I really don't have to do that. He does it very well for himself. But Donald Trump reinvigorates, does he not? He energizes even as he polarizes. He attracts people who are attracted by his energy, his straightforwardness, however crass, and even that crassness, that vulgarity, that vulgar approach to language and other people, somehow, some way, that attracts so many people. Such a refreshing contrast to political spin. So many of the disaffected, we the people, rally around him as a kind of hope. Hope for change. Hope for them, the politically disenfranchised. Hope, as Trump would say, to make America great again. Perhaps he means some of our old-fashioned exceptionalism. But whatever, Donald Trump never goes away. He doesn't seem to politically fade, and in fact, he improves. He enlarges, and he grows a very stubborn, energetic, determined, populist base. So interesting, is it not? And the base is not just Republican, but Libertarian, and Independents, centrists, and even disenchanted Democrats. No one really knows the depth of his political support base, including and especially the pollsters. Do you pay much attention to polls? So Donald Trump goes to Madison, Alabama on February 28, and he draws a crowd to hear him speak of 35,000 people in a stadium which only has capacity for 30,000. They came to see and hear the icon and symbol of a new era in American politics. Unlike Cruz or Rubio or Fiorina or Carson or Kasich or Christie, the trumpeting of the Donald rings loud and clear, far above them. Very fine candidates that they are, for reasons so many American pundits and elitists fail to understand, much less accept. Those 35,000 people in Madison, Alabama may well have been seeing and hearing the next president of the United States. Trump, it seems, has had enough of the lie, the Washington lie, that is, the political lie. Trump trumpets the message of a new kind of truth, not a half-truth, not spin, not facts which evolve in political terms, but all things that matter straight, direct, observable, and objective, even though the man himself is often not. He rails against Obama and the Democrats, and in essence, he accuses them of Saul Alinsky tactics. Do you know who Alinsky is? You should. Identifying in his own way and in his own words their political philosophy, which is deny the political denial and delay. Oh, is Obama good at that? And obfuscate, that is confuse. And then, of course, litigate. And by that time, 8 years later, the man's out of office. In short, Obama's Washington never really gets caught or convicted or held accountable. They, the Obamaites, says Trump, they ignore the facts and they look for any truth du jour, anything which suits their purposes and plans. And that for them, says Trump, that's the fact of the day. And anyone or anything Obama is not to be trusted. True indeed in so many ways, but strange coming from a man who many think is a master of the flip-flop. A rough and tumble businessman, aggressive, boy is he aggressive, often mean and inconsiderate, but somehow representing some part of the American dream, a true American success story, at least financially, a billionaire several times over, and perhaps somebody or something which so many Americans would wish to emulate and have for themselves, like Trump does. He may well indeed be, as one writer said, the icon and symbol of a new era in American politics. How about that? The icon and symbol of a new era in American politics. The Donald is the kind of political candidate that may never be fully understood, but he is different. So different as he attacks the Washington lie, the constant change under which we Americans live, Obama-style, and the utter disrespect these power-hungry politicians have for we the people. Perhaps we believe that Trump will really talk to us, communicate with us, and so we can with him. Let the trumpets blare both ways. Trumpeting, after all, is a two-way street. I think Trump might pay attention. Perhaps he gives us hope that there is some real truth in this world, something absolute, unchanging, necessary for real Americanism, and in fact, perhaps for our very own survival. Trump seems to eschew in his own way relativism. No absolute truth, especially politically so. A philosophical approach which confuses and angers most Americans. It angers me. Trump seems in his own way a force for unification. That sounds strange, doesn't it? But really, he is, because if you believe as he does, it ain't going to change. America is now the land of the Great Divide. So sadly so. Oh, sad. The Great Divide. Obama now and so much of politics and politicians before him produced and widened this Great Divide, polarizing Americans now to the point where there really is no dialogue, no discussion, no real attempt to persuade or educate. Communication, especially political, is accompanied by demand, elitism, and anger. I am right and you are wrong, and that's that. And that is so for Americans on either side of any issue, or platform, or party, or political person. We challenge, we demand, we proselytize, and we preach, but we never listen. We never really listen. And so the Great Divide only widens, and America, and especially its politics, become toxic. Intellectually, philosophically, and culturally toxic. It's a poisonous political environment in which we live. And you know what I think? I think we lie. And I think all of us lie. Working with half-truths, with facts that support our positions, ignoring others, and the more we are challenged, the more we claim we are right. Or perhaps part of the definition of a lie is simply avoiding the truth and not standing up. Politics and people in America could not be more polarized. Perhaps Trump fosters that polarization, but at least he gives a certain hope and energy to those whom Washington has ignored for years and years. Your time, people. We the people. Your time, our time to stand up and take back your country, says Trump. Your time, Americans, to take it away from those career, power-hungry politicians and let a man like me, a true populist, a non-politician, one who cannot be bought, run this country the way it should be and the way the Founding Fathers intended it to be. That message resonates. Politics, says Trump, can be reduced in essence to three things: power, money, ego, fame. Power, money, ego, fame. To become a politician is to be corrupted and infected by all three, says Trump. But Trump says to America that he now has all three in his life, so that his political motivations and desire to be president are different. The Donald has enormous power in the business world. He is a billionaire, successful, creative, and even ruthless at the same time, but powerful. Powerful in every way. He is a force to be reckoned with whenever he wants something. And you know, so many Americans seem to respond to that. And Donald Trump, secondly, has all of the money he could possibly want or need. He does not have to set up nonprofit corporations in Canada and the United States to launder contributions and avoid the sanctions of the law like Hillary Clinton. The Clintons, says Trump, are all about the money, not to mention the power. And what they have done, he says, and as well articulated by columnist Charles Krauthammer. By the way, do you read Krauthammer? You should. He's brilliant. All of that is a fraudulent laundering of that money in violation of the law. Trump needs no more money. And he takes no money and will never be influenced by political money from anyone. I believe that. So much for the PACs. You know, those political action committees, the lobbyists, and the special interest spokespersons. The days of their political influence in Washington would be over, says Trump, if he is elected president. And I believe that. And, says Trump, my ego needs nothing more, for I am now famous the world over, and my ego is already strong and aggressive enough. I don't need any more fame. Therefore, says the Trumpster, my main goal, desire, and ambition as president would be to make America great again. Make America great again. And that resonates. That, all of that, really resonates with so many. So many millions of we the people. Does it with you? You could almost say that there are those millions who think to themselves, I really would like to be like the Donald. Yeah, maybe you would. Maybe we all would. Or at least fully identify with him. So Donald John Trump grows as a candidate, grows in popularity, and the polls, if anything, underestimate his populist appeal. And the trumpeting of the Trump grows louder. He is a candidate with a style so very unique, who is very likely to be the Republican nominee, and then very likely to be president of the United States of America. No matter the protests, the criticism, and belittling from men like Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio. And boy, some of that stuff is really nasty, isn't it? I wish it would end. And now Mitt Romney and, of course, the Pope Francis. Can you believe that? The Pope, who has the audacity to weigh in on American politics when he really knows nothing about them. Trump moves forward and perhaps gets stronger. Trump takes no quarter with the Pope or anybody else for that matter. He, for example, says that the majority of Americans want to stop illegal immigration. I do. I don't know about you, but I do. Trump says he will build a wall on the border to prevent that. What do you think of that? Americans respond and believe him when he says he will do that. Unlike Obama, who really does nothing to stop illegal immigration. The Donald will do what he says and will say very clearly what he will do. We can bet on that. Like me or not, says Trump, I will make things happen, the right things happen for the good old America. 545 people now rule this country, really rule this country, says Trump. We the people, including him, are ruled, he says, by 435 House of Representatives, 100 senators, 9 Supreme Court justices, now 8, and, of course, the president. Once elected or appointed, says Trump, we the people are at their mercy. They do as they wish at any time, evolving, changing, and so very often without respect, concern, or appreciation for the people. We the people, the engines of democracy. You are, says Trump, you are disenfranchised, removed from the political process and your political rights, and you have every right to be angry. Angry. Trump, it seems, is a political outlet for the venting of frustration and anger on the part of the American people. In fact, Trump seems to create even more anger or concern or fight back, for that's his style, and perhaps his political purpose. Tens of millions, the vast majority of Americans, do not now, nor will they ever, trust politicians. Do you? I don't. They are victims of the system infected with Potomac fever. Once in Washington, they are swallowed up with political ideology and power and the systems and protocols and, above all, the compromise factor which rules Washington. The message of Donald Trump seems to be to America, I will never compromise. And that resonates. The Trumpster may well indeed be the icon and symbol of a new political America. Perhaps he already is, and only will continue to grow as such. Trump has ripped apart and exposed the Republican Party. He attacks the GOP old guard, the structure and decision-making of the party elites, and even though he runs as a Republican and seeks the nomination of the Republican Party, he is by no means a Republican or a conservative. Do you think he is? He is, in fact, an independent. That is, it's all about him. Many think he's a rhino, a Republican in name only, And even though he may have some conservative leanings or believe in certain Republican principles and priorities, he still has his very own. Some are Republican, some are not. Trump is constantly attacked by those remaining Republican candidates, Cruz and Rubio, and any others who may still be in the race, if they really are. They are often vicious in their attacks of Trump, and of course he of them in the return. But it's interesting that Rubio and Cruz state at the end of their political vitriol that they, each of them, will support the Republican nominee, whoever that is. Of course, they don't mention the name Trump, but that's what they mean. In essence, these two candidates are saying that they, as of now, will support Donald Trump. Do you support him? Will you support him if you are Republican? And perhaps the rancor and vitriol will die down, and we will finally have an opportunity to find out exactly what Trump believes, what his political platform is, and what he will do as president to deal with the major issues of the day. Some of that is out there now, on the internet and otherwise, but it's never really been articulated in a passionate, reasoned way by Donald Trump. I, for one, know little about his platform. There are bullet points, but there is no real explanation, no dialogue, no philosophic or reasoned approach to these issues, which America desperately wants. I, for one, want to hear the head and heart of the man in clear, unequivocal, well-thought-out passion. Not vitriol, but passion and concern for America. Then I will know how to really evaluate him, not on personality and style and language, but on a mind at work, on the things which we the people care about most. What do you think of that? Donald John Trump, the Trumpster, the Donald, may well be our next president of our beloved United States of America. Are you ready for that? And the way things are now, perhaps you should get ready.